Hello and welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today, Marianne and I are here with Mary Reed, who is the owner of Green Thumb Garden Centre. And so we're very lucky to have her with us and excited to learn a little bit more about her. Welcome, Mary.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Our pleasure to have you. Thank you. Can you tell us a little bit about how did you come to be the owner of a garden nursery? What was the path to getting there?
Well, it was rather an obscure one. Some might refer to it as a midlife crisis. But I was lucky enough to have had 15 very good years at a bank. There was a centralization going on, and I was offered a transfer or a package. And I thought about it for quite a while. We were given lots of time. It was a very humane situation. And I did a lot of research, and gardening was becoming the number one hobby in Canada. It was overtaking both golf and curling. And I thought, this is what I'm going to do. So that's what I did.
Well, that is not the answer I was expecting, actually. That's so very well thought out and planned. Were you already interested in gardening at that point yourself, or was it very much like a logical decision?
I'm going to say it was more of a logical decision. Corporations were getting bigger and bigger, and there was less of a personal touch. So I knew I needed to do something that was in a much smaller capacity, smaller company, smaller employer. And I thought, no, I'm going to do this on my own. So I then thought, well, what can I do? And I did garden as a youth with my grandmother and my parents and my godmother. And I worked as a gardener during university. And I thought, well, let's see what's available. And kidding aside, my husband was reading a newsletter from a local garden center that said, it's true, Green Thumb Garden Center's up for sale. So he turned to me and said, do you want to buy it? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, do you think you should see it? And I thought, maybe I should. And the rest is history.
I love that. That's just so great and so like spontaneous. That's fantastic.
Very spontaneous.
And so you bought it not really having any knowledge of how to run a garden center.
That's exactly true. I had business background with the bank.
Yeah.
I was a teacher before a banker, so I thought, well, I can teach people things once I know myself what I'm going to teach. And it was a challenge because it was a money losing proposition. And I thought, I'm going to turn this thing around. And fortunately, my husband had a full-time job so that if things didn't go well, we weren't going to be perhaps suffering, not being able to feed our little person and that kind of thing. And if I could turn it around, all the better. And thankfully I did.
Oh, that's amazing. That's really, wow, that's really, really a cool story. So since then you've been running the nursery and obviously you have a lot of knowledge about plants and an in-depth knowledge. How did you gain the knowledge? Was that just through hands-on work or how did you get all the knowledge that you clearly have?
Probably, Elizabeth, column A and column B. As part of our severance package, we were allowed to take some courses in whatever our field might be. So I took a number of courses on a part-time basis through Algonquin, and that's actually how I got to know Marianne. So I did that, and then when our severance package time was up, I continued to do that one at a time. I do lots of reading, and I continue to do lots of reading, whether it's on the net or old-fashioned gardening books, and just talking to people and learning from what they tell you. So it's all sorts of different ways you pick up the knowledge.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you have a favorite thing about the nursery? What's your favorite thing to do there or what do you like about it best? I called it a nursery. Garden center.
Garden center. You can call it whatever you want. Every day is different. We have a lot of fun. We work like dogs. But I'm going to say it's all about the people, whether it's the staff, the customers, the suppliers, the interactions you have with everybody. Everyone is different. And I suppose when I was the bank, not every interaction was positive. If you were lending money, your rate was too high. If you were having somebody invest, your rate was too low. And I'm going to say 99% of the people that come into a garden center are happy people. And if they're not, it has nothing to do with their plants. Something else has happened in their life and they've come to the garden center for a bit of relief.
Yeah, that sounds really nice. It sounds like it's a real sort of passion project for you at this point.
It is. It absolutely is.
Is it busy all year or do you close in the winter months or are you open all the time?
So the actual garden center is open from March or April, depending on our spring. The spring of 2025 was very long and cold, so we opened later. but I'm thinking we're going to stay open longer because we've had such a glorious fall. But usually it's sometime in March or April to sometime in November or December, and then we are closed. That being said, somebody goes into the garden center every day of the year because we have to check our tarps, because if our tarps are blown, then our plants are cooked or frozen, as the case might be. It is a different pace throughout the year. I lay everybody off November, December. They start to trickle back to work in March or April, depending on what they do. And then over the winter, those that come back earlier will help me with things like setting up the store, organizing the planting, because we do grow a lot of bare roots and plugs. So it's a different pace, but every day is filled.
What plants are you maintaining over the winter? Like, what kind of plants do you grow and maintain over the winter?
So we maintain absolutely everything. We are very careful to say they are overwintered plants as opposed to leftovers. So these are plants that have not sold for whatever reason. There's a huge market for garden center customers that want plants that have overwintered because they do not get TLC. I mean, we don't boot them around or anything, but they are not tucked into a warm and cozy hoop house. So if they can survive with a limited amount of TLC, that's the plant you want in your garden as opposed to one that's coming from a nursery elsewhere.
Absolutely. I think that Fuzzy was saying absolutely too there. I think he was agreeing with us. And so the other thing that you do is we hear you on the CBC fairly regularly. How did that happen that you started to go on the CBC Radio 4 gardening program?
Heaven only knows. I was phoned one day, and I believe there was three others that were asked. I'm not certain if this was in Paul Zammit's time or in Ed Lawrence's time, but somebody was having 4 weeks off. And so there was four of us that were asked, and I was one of them. And I said I could do, I can't remember, maybe three of the four, so you tell me. And in I went. So I'm thinking maybe it was a type of an interview. I don't know. But the reality is the host would much prefer to have their gardening person in studio. It's easier for them. So I think that could have been one of the drawing cards that I've now been asked quite a number of times.
Right. Or the fact that you really are knowledgeable
yeah.
and approachable.
Well, isn't that nice? Thank yeah. you.
You sound fantastic when you're doing it. And so one thing I was going to ask was, like, you get these questions thrown at you constantly. You have no clue. I mean, I guess seasonally, maybe you have a little idea what might be coming. But how is that, answering all those questions just, you know, off the top of your head?
Well, you're absolutely right, Elizabeth. You have no idea what is going to be asked. The producer does a pretty good job of perhaps editing or accepting calls or whatever, but I don't see them ahead of time. So it does have to be gardening related and it has to make some sense. Often it's a case if I don't know the answer. First of all, if I really don't know the answer, I'm going to say, I don't know, but I'll look into it and we'll get back to you, because they do have contact information for that kind of a situation. But sometimes it's, you know, common sense more than anything else. And if we do it in Ottawa, then maybe the person in Brampton, I just need to change the perspective a little bit because their conditions are different. Or if we're going way up to Northern Ontario. So I think it's a matter of common sense more than anything else. But you're right. You have no idea what you're going to be asked.
You sound amazing because you always come up with something that sounds so great. And I would be speechless. I'd be lost for words. And anyway, I'm in awe of it every time. It's
fantastic. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so the other thing that I know about you is that you're a master gardener. And I was wondering, you know, in amongst all these other things, what led you to become a master gardener in the first place?
Well, that's a pretty funny question, because never in my wildest dreams did I think that I was still going to be at the garden center 30 years later. Yeah. So I'm going to say maybe 8 or 10 years into it, I thought, if I retire, I still want to keep my foot in the door on gardening. So how am I going to do that in a voluntary capacity? So I phoned up the coordinator, having found out her information, and I talked to her. And of course, there was a discussion about, well, you're a master gardener, you're not owner of Green Thumb Garden Center, so you cannot use this as a credential. And I said, I understand this. I'm thinking down the road to, what am I going to do when I don't go to the garden center every day? So we talked about it, and I thought, I can do that, because really, you only have to offer 30 hours of volunteer work to the general public. It's all gratis, as you know. And all we're doing is helping one another in their gardens. So if I'm helping them at the garden center as a Green Thumb employee, or whether I'm helping them at a market or by writing an article or being on some kind of a helpline, it's pretty much the same. And then you know that the passion is coming through.
Wow. Yeah. So you're volunteering 30 hours or more, I suspect, a year through Master Gardeners, as well as running a garden center, which is amazing. What are Master Gardeners? I think some listeners might not understand what the Master Gardeners Association is. Can you tell us a bit more
about
that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So we have a governing body out of Toronto. It just happens that that's where our, for lack of a better word, corporate group is. We are not for profit. It is not a true business corporation. And they oversee a number of groups throughout Ontario. We are an international organization, but the group in Toronto just looks after the Ontario branches. So we have our governing group out of Toronto, Master Gardeners of Ontario. And they are basically the go-to place if we have any organizational questions. But each chapter, and we are Master Gardeners of Ottawa-Carleton, are responsible for ensuring we have enough venues to perform a service to the local gardeners who need more information. And it can be all over the map. It can be indoor plants. It can be their veggie gardens. It can be their perennials. It can be pruning, et cetera, et cetera. And where we find these people to ask questions of us are either in local markets, for example, Lansdowne we go to one in Barrhaven, we go to some in Osgoode, the list goes on. We could be asked to speak at various groups. It could be horticultural societies. It could be in a retirement community. We could write articles. We're writing articles for The Citizen now. So it's all over the map. So these members, we have about 60 plus in our group in Ottawa, each are charged with looking after these questions that are coming into us, fitting those questions and the venue best with their skills. Some people don't like to speak to groups. Some people don't like to write articles. And each person somehow comes up with 30 hours of volunteer hours to service the general public. All we want to do is encourage more people to garden and encourage them to garden as successfully as they can for their circumstances.
That's a lovely description. Thank you. That's perfect. Okay. You're answering gardeners' questions, you know, as your own garden center through the CBC and also as a master gardener. So over that time, have you seen the type of questions change or the themes of questions? Do you see a change in that 30-year span?
Oh, absolutely. When I started with Green Thumb, the selection of plants available, far less than what it is today. That's not necessarily a bad thing, because often there are many, many new introductions that in the interest of serving more gardeners, more plants are bred. And perhaps there isn't as much testing that has gone on in the past. It's all about supply and demand. So in Ottawa, we have to be pretty careful of those new introductions because our environment is different. Our winter is different. What pests we have here is very different. So I've noticed that. And we have to be more careful in what we order just because this is the new up-and-coming hydrangea. We can't necessarily say, well, we're going to bring it in and we're going to sell it. We need to do our research because not a lot of testing that goes on in the Ottawa area. So there is that. There's also just more of an interest in various wings of gardening, especially after COVID. The onset of COVID, of course, more people were into food plants, edible plants, berries, all that kind of stuff. And now more people are into pollinators and native plants and the threat of invasive plants. And all those are really big, big categories. But we have to be pretty careful that not every garden is a native garden. So we can't all say, well, let's clear out the garden and only put in native plants, because if that person is living in a new subdivision, we're not doing that person any favors by suggesting they have a native garden when they don't have the soil to sustain it. And if they already have a garden, there's a lot of positives those plants are offering to the homeowner and to the environment, that just willy-nilly pulling them all out and replacing them isn't the be-all and end-all. So we need a little bit of moderation mm-hmm. in all those yeah. things, including natives, invasives, pollinators, food, etc.
Yeah, so balance. And you mentioned invasives, and I think you're one of the garden centers who's making an effort not to sell invasives to the public. Is that correct?
That is correct, but we are definitely not a totally non-invasive garden center. We do our very best, though. If somebody is looking at something that might be invasive, we will have a conversation with them. So for example, if it were periwinkle and they were living on the side of the greenbelt, we would be very careful to explain to them what the risks are, and perhaps they would like to consider this plant instead. If they are living downtown and they literally have concrete all around them and they have the one tree in the middle of their front lawn and nothing grows and they've tried everything and they take a fancy to periwinkle, we would still let them know this is on the invasive plant list. However, what are the risks? Mm-hmm. And we'd have that conversation. The flip side is true when you get into things like native plants. Virginia creeper is a native vine. We'd have to have a similar conversation as we had with the periwinkle person about, is this really the plant mm-hmm. for what you're going to do? Because it can cause yeah. major difficulties for us.
And I think that's the wonderful thing about going to a knowledgeable garden center, where you get that discussion about the plant looks nice in this small container that you're looking at it now, but what's it looking at down the road? What are the pros and cons of these plants that you're looking at investing in? And then, you know, you don't want to love something and then find actually this is not what I needed. So I guess that's the real benefit of having someone who has all this background information.
It's 100% accurate. That's what we try to do. I'm sure there's the odd customer that we miss that explanation, mm-hmm. but we do our best in terms of signage so that people can have a little bit of an opportunity to do some research if they're like research that we're offering them. If they are waiting to speak to somebody. Mm-hmm.
This was really, really interesting. We really enjoyed talking to you today. But I was curious to ask you about your own garden at home. What is that like?
It's hysterical. This is not poor me. I love the garden center. But basically, as soon as I wake up to long into the early hours of the morning, I am working. So I do nothing in our garden at home. My husband does everything. Actually, that's not true. Every year I do put compost on in the fall, but I have been known to do it when there's snow on the ground. So I do nothing for the garden. My husband does everything. His style and my style are completely different. That's fine. It's a garden. It's lovely to sit in. It's not what I would have done. Doesn't matter to me. It's still a garden.
Yeah, good for you. That's a very nice attitude to have.
And every gardener is different.
Exactly. Yeah. So why not?
Yeah, which is actually the lovely thing about it. You can go to a load of different suburban houses and see so many different styles of gardening. And so it's wonderful to explore different things, ways of doing things. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us today. It was really nice to have you. And thank you for listening to Gardens for Everybody. Please follow or sign up to us.
Thank you.